Church get together and put together kits for the homeless. Those are now going to be prayed over and available to you on next Sunday. And it's, you can take those, carry them around in your car. You run into somebody who's in need, that you'll have that. It'll be available to them. So that's something to be thinking about and looking forward to. Stone Soup is today. They'll be leaving here at Asbury's parking lot at 1:30 p.m. And always, we want to remind you, you're going to see a little pad being passed around. If you're visiting with us, especially, fill that out so we can pray for you, so we know you were here. And if you've been here 20 years, fill that out so that we know that you were here. We can pray for you and lift you up during this week. Again, we're so glad that you're here. We're so glad to be joined by the Asbury Prison Band this morning. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have blessed us with. You are good. You are always good. We are here in this place to lift you up, to worship you. Lord, we just pray that you would fill this place with your Spirit, that you would touch our lives, God, that you would change us so that when we walk out of these doors, we're a shining light for you, God, in this world. Be high and lifted up in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you to stand and join with them.
I will call upon the Lord,
call upon the Lord,
who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved,
from my enemy.
I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord,
who is worthy to be praised.
Is worthy to be praised.
So shall I be saved from my enemy.
Saved from my enemy.
I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted.
Let us hear you now.
To be praised.
So
shall I be saved?
Shall I be saved from my enemy?
I will call upon the Lord. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and may the God of my salvation be exalted.
Why don't y'all be seated for this one? We're going to roll two songs together, which we're prone to do. We're going to play it tonight at the prison, and we hope y'all enjoy it. Humble thyself, Phil, Jay.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
Humble humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
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 And he
dressed in white.
God's gonna trouble the water.
The leader looks like the Israelite.
God's gonna trouble the water. Wait in the water. Wait in the water, children. Wait in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
Well, you see that band all dressed in red.
God's gonna trouble the water.
Well, that looks like the band that Moses led.
God's gonna trouble the water. Wait in the water. Wait in the water, chill. In the water, God's gonna trouble the water.
Well, look over yonder, what do I see?
God's gonna trouble the water.
The Holy Ghost are coming on me.
God's gonna trouble the water. Wait in the water, children, wait in the water. God's gonna trouble the water.
If you'd like to stand and sing this one with us, you know it. Not too fast back there, Phil. Baker, get us started.
Okay. Can't remember what song it is. Oh, okay.
Yeah, great is our God.
All right.
splendor of a king, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great, how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great is our God.
A little bit more modern.
When the night is come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we see, no, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid. Just as long as you stand, stand by me. So Father, Father, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand, stand by me. Stand by me. If the sky we look upon should tumble and fall, and the mountain should crumble to the sea, I won't cry, I won't cry. No, I won't shed a tear. Just as long as you stand, stand by me. Yes, Father.
Kids today? Okay, Okay, are we all here? Okay. Do any of you guys like apples? No? Man, y'all are missing out. Apples are delicious. They're yummy, aren't they, Katie? They don't know what they're missing. Yeah, because they're awesome. Okay, so apples, I'm going to tell you guys some facts about apples, okay? Y'all are cracking me up. Okay, did you know that apples are healthy for you? Yeah, they have lots of vitamins and stuff to make you grow up big and strong, right? Yeah. Does anybody know what kind of apple this one is? A red what? Red delicious. Because it's tasty, right? And there's lots and lots of different kinds of apples. There's like over 7,000 different kinds of apples. Did you know that? Does anybody know the countries that produce the most apples? What'd you say, Madeline? China, that's one of them. Yeah, good job. So there's China, the United States, Turkey, Italy, and France. I didn't know that either. Okay, so who has a favorite way to eat apples, those of you who like to eat apples? Just eat the inside with the juice? Okay, that's a good one.
I love juice.
Apple juice, that's a good one. Anybody else? How about applesauce? Anybody like applesauce? Man. Okay, how about apple pie? Does anybody like apple pie? Man, y'all are killing me. Okay. All right. Well, so does anybody know where apples come from?
Trees.
Great. Okay. So what would you guys do if you worked really hard to plant an apple tree? In your garden or your yard or whatever, and it didn't grow or it didn't produce any apples, what would you do?
Go buy some.
That's a good idea. You could go buy some. That's good. So your apple tree wouldn't be very good if it didn't produce apples, right? Right. Okay. So Jesus told a story about a man who had a fig tree in his vineyard. And for 3 years, they waited for some fruit to come from the fig tree. And no figs. So the man was kind of upset, and he told the caretaker to go and chop down that tree. And the caretaker said, wait, give me one more chance. Give me one more year. Let me fertilize it and take really good care of it and see if it would produce some figs. And so the owner said, okay, yeah, you can try. So in telling this story about the fruit tree, Jesus was really talking about us and about God, because God planted us here on the earth, and then he expects us to grow and to produce some fruit. Does anybody know what kind of fruit we might produce? No? Okay, how about like love or joy, kindness, those kinds of things, okay? So, and when God wants us to produce these things, but when we don't produce them, he still gives us another chance to try again. Okay, so let's pray. Okay, everybody bow your heads. Dear Jesus, help us to have the kind of fruit in our lives that would be pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Amen. Okay, so if you're going to Kids Club, go back in the back.
What a joy it is to be in worship with you today. What a joy it always is to see our children respond. And I wish you could hear some of the things they actually say. We may have this all wrong. We may need to mic the children and keep the leader silent. It is good to be in the house of God, worshiping as the people of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it. We are mindful that there are those in our family that are away today traveling. We pray that they will have safe travels and come back and fellowship and worship again safely and rested. Father, we are aware that there are those that are not here today because they have sickness in the family.
there taking care of their loved ones. They're all far away visiting them and nurturing them back to good health. We pray for those who are hurting today. Perhaps they're in between jobs. Perhaps they're unhappy in their job. Perhaps they just need encouragement in their job. We pray for those who are feeling lonely today because no one's noticed they're lonely. We pray for those who have made the effort to be here today, to get out of their beds, to get up on the one day perhaps of the week that they get to rest. But it was more important to them to come and to be a part of this family. And we know that puts a smile on your face, God. Because if numbers are priorities, then I'm pretty sure that that number one commandment was to worship you and worship you alone. So, Father, we thank you for this freedom and this opportunity to worship. And in our time of worship, we also lift up to you and recognize our sin. And we ask for strength to sin less, to learn from our mistakes, and to move forward as a stronger and more loving body of Christ. And we thank you for the one that gives us that grace and gives us that confidence that we can move forward and be better. And Jesus Christ, the Savior of our lives, who taught us all to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." As we invite our ushers to come forward and we prepare to give God our gifts and our tithes, we want to continue to keep in our prayers our OMP group, who will be commissioned in just a few moments as they go and do the work of Christ throughout the state of Arkansas. And we also want to be in prayer for the Stone Soup Ministry. For those of you that are new to the church or visiting today, that's a time where persons of our church go and serve a hot meal to those who are homeless, and it's at Quapaw Quarter. And if you feel a tug in your heart to be a part of that ministry, be at the parking lot at 1:30 this afternoon and be ready to be blessed as you offer a blessing. Let us go to God in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are thankful that you have instructed us as a part of the worship of you to give you the blessings. The blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and yet you don't ask for it all. You ask for just a tenth, just a small portion, and so much more we are allowed to keep. So, Father, we ask that you bless these blessings and use them to grow your kingdom that it might be fruitful. In the name of Jesus our Lord, amen.
Thank you.
So thankful for the prison ministry band. If you brought your Bibles this morning, or if you care to follow along on the screens, I'm going to be reading from Luke's Gospel this morning, the 13th chapter, verses 6 through 9. May you, the people of God, be inspired and blessed, challenged, comforted, blessed by the reading and hearing of God's word is recorded in Luke 13, 6 through 9. And he told this parable: a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it, and he found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Lo, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Let it alone, sir, this year also, till I dig about it and put on manure. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have a confession to make. I love to start a message that way because everybody's head just pops up. It's true. I have a confession. I have a certain history with figs. Now, it's not that I have a particular craving for them, rather than I have a certain respect for them. You see, growing up in my childhood home, there was a fig tree planted in the backyard. And it was a large fig tree, large enough that as a child I would climb up it and I would gather the figs. That was my job every summer. Now, I didn't mind this job, grant you, because I made money. I sold those figs for a whopping $1.50 a gallon. Now, my grandmother lived next door, and of course, we always gave her the first figs, and she would make what we knew as fig preserves. And she also would ask me to call up Gulnair or Gertie or some other friend that she would have and let them know that the figs were available because her friends just loved my figs. And I thought, oh, well, they're just trying to help out cute little Mary. I didn't know that until years later that, well, fruit is your friend for the older digestive system. There was one thing I found out right away in handling all these figs was that when you break off the fig from its stem, little milky-like substance comes out of the end. And fig leaves are rather large, about the size of your hand, and they are full of fuzz. Well, you get that milky stuff next to that fuzz, and you have got an itch that'll drive you wild. It will. It would drive me wild. It would drive me crazy. And just a couple of times of that, I learned right quickly to wear gloves when I went fig picking. Another thing, while we're on the subject of figs, I find it very interesting that, you know, in the Bible, fig trees are mentioned quite a bit. And if you're Adam and you're in the Garden of Eden and you have already sinned and you discover your nakedness, then you grab the closest branches that you can find. And so he grabbed fig leaves. Now, I've already explained to you those things are fuzzy. And so I'm here to suggest this morning that the first random act of kindness from the Lord God Almighty was to give that boy some animal skins and say, get rid of those fig leaves. Jesus Christ, the master teacher, portrays in today's parable the state of the fig tree and is really talking about you and me. And he's talking about our fruitlessness. For in this parable, Jesus depicts God as the man who is the judge of the tree's present status. And he is losing patience with the tree that he has planted, with the tree in which he gave life, a life that was intended to be fruitful. Now, on the scene is Christ, portrayed as the gardener, who has come on behalf of the tree, or humanity, to intervene and offer a way to cultivate or stimulate this growth of the tree that it might be fruitful again. Interesting, isn't, did you notice, the waste or manure is a good thing. And so as we again interpret this parable to our lives, we come to this conclusion. Our mistakes, unfortunately, our sins, those things that have cut us off from being fruitful, past behaviors, all of those things, through God, can actually, that waste in our lives, can actually help us in our stimulation to grow in our faith. The tree needs to accept the only means of survival, and that is through the gardener. The gardener who is cultivating us every single moment of our lives. Are we open to receive the cultivation? Are we ignoring it? Are we oblivious to it because we're so tunnel visioned on our own life that we forget about the one in whose hands holds our life? The analogy is rather obvious, isn't it? God, our Creator, has given us the gift of life. We are guilty of ignoring opportunities for spiritual growth, usually by taking them for granted. And so we do not cultivate ourselves in our faith to the point of like that childhood fig tree of mine, where we're just overloaded with acts of fruitfulness, faithfulness. God judges us, and on that day, I would imagine there's one question on his lips. What'd you do with your life? What'd you do with your life? Oh, Well, I was a pretty good mom, pretty good dad. I was in worship pretty regularly. And now every time they had a special drive or a project or any time that they needed help with a mission, I gave to it. Fine. What'd you do with your life? Did you plant seeds in others so more fruit for my kingdom will be born? Show me the ministries you did. Tell me about the conversations you had to bring someone to know my son Jesus. Testify to me the smiles you put on the faces of empty bellies that you made sure left full. Tell me about the bullies you turned into friends. Tell me about how you mediated conflict into reconciliation and a healthy relationship again. Talk to me. Convince me, says God. I want to believe. You know, we often, day by day, run into those moments or those situations that are just unbelievable. It's those times where you'd have to be there to see it, to believe it. Such was the fella who had a fig tree in his backyard. And the story I'm about to share is unbelievable. Said he wouldn't have believed it if he hadn't actually witnessed it for himself. You see, this fella did the oddest thing. He had a fig tree in his backyard, but that fig tree, year after year, was not producing. I mean, no buds, nothing. Certainly no fruit. So he called up what you would do if you have a problem with something in your yard, like a disease or something that it's just not doing right. He called up the master gardener and he said, I got this fig tree. I kind of hate to cut it down. What should I do about it? It's not bearing fruit. The master gardener told him to go out to his yard and spank the tree. And the fellow said, what? He said, you heard me right. Go out and spank the tree. Give it a good old-fashioned spanking. Well, the neighbor with this lackluster tree of his thought to himself, what have I got to lose other than my sanity? And so he gathered up some newspapers, wadded them up about the size of a baseball bat, and chose the time of day when the kids around the neighborhood were in school, all the people were at their jobs, and surely nobody would see him do this ridiculous thing. And so as he's about to give the tree a big old whack, you kind of wonder if he was thinking, now this is going to hurt me more than it is you. So literally, he gives it a couple of good old whacks, and just about that time, his preacher drops by. And the preacher's thinking, you know, this fella needs more help than I thought. Except the preacher, a few months later, was given a basket of figs. It seems that the spanking of the tree actually jarred the tree and its roots just enough that it opened up to the flow of nutrients and the tree produced again. You know, if you're Jesus and you're in what we call the Holy Land, when you're trying to teach a lesson, you look around you for the objects that you can pick up or point to, and you teach God's truth. And we know this. He did that over and over with seeds and rocks and the waves and the mountains. He used whatever was around him. Well, it was no different than the fig tree. I mean, if you're walking and there's groves of olive trees, fig trees. And so in Matthew 21, Jesus is recording
is recorded as coming through the city of Bethany on an early morning. It's breakfast time. He's hungry. He passes a fig tree. There's no fruit on it. And in his disappointment, he said, "May no fruit ever come from you again." And the fig tree withered at once. And Jesus used this opportunity to teach the disciples that just because something looks good does not mean that it has the needed substance. And Jesus knew of which he spoke. I mean, look, right there in Bethany, he could look out and see the temple, not far away. The temple that had the grandest of all materials in its construction. The temple that had all the religious prominent people in their fancy robes and garments. The learned people, the ones that had been to school and knew the scriptures backwards and forwards, the prestigious, wonderful people. Jesus lived in a day where sacrifices and rituals were given. They were given just for show. And Jesus was taking this moment to remind his disciples that real faith doesn't always look good. Real faith, my friends, bears fruit, no matter the appearance. The disciples knew this. The scribes and the religious knew this. Over and over, the Old Testament used the image of a beautiful, fruitful tree to represent or a symbol of a righteous person. Hear the words from Psalms, the first Psalm, the third verse. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does prospers." Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, for they will be like a tree planted by the stream. Its leaves are always green. It does not worry about the drought and never fails to bear fruit." In other words, every single human being in this room is blessed beyond measure. And you and I are blessed to be a blessing, to be fruitful, to witness to others the love of God. Our sole purpose, not S-O-L-E, but S-O-U-L, purpose in life is to give back in such a way that people know you follow Jesus. Would you say that everyone in your circle of friends, everyone that you work with, everyone in your family, everyone that you meet, would they say, "There goes a Christian"? Would they be able to tell that? Blessed by our faith, by our interaction, by our giving. Let me share with you from the perspective of professional ministry. Every year, in the early spring, the bishop of the Arkansas Annual Conference and the cabinet, or those that make up the cabinet, which are the district superintendents, go down the list of the entire conference, some 760 churches, and they look at every senior pastor and every congregation. And on that list, they note what is important. And you might be interested to know that on that list, these things do not make the list. On that list is not how new the building is. On that list is not how large the budget is. On that list is not how many are on the membership roll. What is on that list, the focus upon the fruit and the effectiveness of not only the clergy, but the members of the congregation working together, or how many adults have made professions of faith, professing their faith in Christ for the very first time? How many are renewing their faith in Christ being restored to that commitment. How many babies were baptized? How many souls were hungry to worship each week? Is the congregation engaged heavily in missions? Is the congregation faithful in their worship of the Lord and in the studies of God's Word? These are the measures of the body of Christ, my friends. It's been my privilege to be your senior pastor for almost a year now. July 1 is our anniversary together. I'm about to offer you some statistics to show you what we have done together from July 1, 2012 to almost July 1, 2013. Let's see it. 10 adult professions of faith, 6 infant baptisms, 32 increase in weekly worship, almost up by 10%, 48 new members, 9 of those were confirmands, 200 homeless kits, 195 family-to-family packages for the holidays, 100 fed through the efforts at Salvation Army, 57,000 fed through the efforts at Rice Depot, 15 cases of water at the cooling center. And then, I don't know that you can see that, but that was 50 backpacks that were given last year as well. Give Jesus a hand. And I say give Jesus a hand because it is the Christ living in your heart that is reaching out to the Christ in other people's lives. Amen. Is that not your inspiration? Is it not Christ calling you to be Christ in the world, to be His hands and His feet? It's good to be thankful for what we've done together as the body of Christ, but surely we know there's so much more to be done. Jesus said, all things are possible with God, Matthew 19:26. Philippians 4:13, Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My friends say these two scriptures, just these two, every single day to become till they become a part of your being. The fabric, the core of who you are. As John Wesley, the founder of Methodist Church, said, preach faith till you have faith. Say these scriptures till you own these scriptures. Today's parable by Jesus is all about faith producing works of faith. What are you doing to cultivate your faith? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, you're in worship. That's a good start. Do you have a devotional sent through email every day, or do you read the upper room or guidepost? Do you have some kind of form of that's feeding your spirit every day? Do you grab the hand of your partner or your family member or your friend and just have a moment of prayer? Do you reach out in some form to someone every day that you know needs some encouragement? Maybe is lonely, facing something very scary for them. What is it that you're doing to show Jesus living in you that Christ bears fruit through you? The fig tree in my parents' backyard, it was so mighty and fruitful because all of the essential elements came together. Not one was missing. It was planted in good soil. It received the proper amount of sunlight. It was watered in dry weather. It was fertilized. And it was planted at the back wall in a corner of the house. And every fall, it got a pretty severe pruning to guarantee sprouts in the spring. Like that tree, you and I have really got to have all the essential elements together. I think that sometimes we think we can slide through and not do one or the other, but I'm telling you, to honor God and the life He has given us, we got to have it all. We got to have the whole package. Or we will produce less than God intends, and we will have to answer to that. God embraces good stewards of His resources. John the Baptist, the scriptures say, given the word of God in Luke 3, when it comes to our spiritual destiny, said these words, produce fruit in keeping with a repentant heart. The axe is already at the root of the tree, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Sounds like a Baptist, doesn't it? All kidding aside, I think what John is really saying to us is that it's not enough to be sorry for our sin. It's not enough to be sorry for our sin. We have to act upon the conviction that we have sinned and move forward in faith. Move forward with faith in motion, making a difference for God's kingdom. It's all the difference in the world than feeling badly about something and doing something about it. The fig tree in today's parable, oh, it looked the part. And Jesus was shocked. I mean, it was healthy. It had these mighty large branches, lush green fresh leaves, and not a fig in sight on it. It looked healthy on the outside, but it was not healthy on the inside. Therefore, it was not doing what it was created to do. How many of us can look in the mirror on a day-to-day basis and say, looking pretty good, I think I can tackle the world today. But inside, we're not looking that good. We're not feeling that good because we've not taken care of business. We've not taken care of our spiritual house. On the outside, looking pretty good. New outfit, good posture, new haircut, whatever. And to the world, we look like we've got it all together. But what does God see? In 1 Samuel, it tells us that God does not look on man's appearance. But God looks at the heart. What is it in our spiritual house we need to clean up so we can be the fruitful tree planted in Lebanon that we are meant to be? That tree planted by the stream representing righteousness. Paul also said in his letter, we are justified by faith. But faith without works is dead. And I might also say works without love is senseless. It's just busy work. And doesn't have a chance to take root. Today, as the old saying goes, today is the first day of the rest of your life. What do you want your legacy to be? One day they're going to write it up, you know. The B section of the state paper every day, somebody's legacy is written up. Let's don't be worried about what someone might write down about us. But what is your legacy going to be, seriously? Is it going to be a life of fruitlessness? That was mediocre, and yeah, you're a pretty good person, and yeah, you know, you didn't cause harm to anybody much. And yeah, you lived a fairly clean life. But what was the fruit? Or are you going to live a life of fruitfulness? And there's not enough paper in the world to write down who you are and what you did in the name of Jesus. I kind of think one day Jesus will be like that moment that he was walking toward Bethany, and we'll be that tree, and he'll be hungry. He'll be hungry to know. And will we have produced for him, for his glory, for his kingdom? for his Father and our God. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm going to invite the Prison Ministry band to come forward now and the singers to share with us a closing song. And following that song, we're going to have our commissioning of our OMP team. So let us be standing.
Your fellow man, lend him a helping hand, put a little love in your heart. You see it's getting late, please don't hesitate, put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place. Just the world,
yes, the world will be a better place
for you and me.
And me,
you just wait,
just wait
and see. Another day goes by, still the children cry.
Put a little love in your heart.
If you want the world to know, we won't let hatred grow.
Put a little love in your heart.
And the world will be a better place.
Yes, the world will be a better place
for you.
For you.
And me.
Invite our OMP team to come forward at this time. Our young people and their leaders, which are also young. There we go. This is a wonderful moment, and let us be in a prayerful spirit. These youth and adults are preparing to go and to serve God through mission work. As they get ready to depart, we take this time to pray for them and to commission them as servants and missionaries of Jesus Christ in Asbury United Methodist Church. Will you all please kneel? This morning, it is my privilege to commission Robert Ader, Austin Baker, Austin York, and David Meredith. And they're going to go into the Hot Springs area, and we pray that their ministry will be fruitful and their relationship with God will be strengthened as they go about this work. Will you do your best to represent Christ in Asbury in all that you say and do? Is it right there? Okay, it's not there. All right. I want you to say it. With God's help. Right there?
With God's help.
We will. We are
excited about the chance to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Serving the least of our brothers and sisters.
Excellent. Will you don't have as much to say, but will you as a church support and pray for this group with your prayers and your encouragement? And if you will, your response is, we will.
We will.
Let us pray together. Dear God, we thank you for this group you have assembled to do your work at OMP. Please go with them. Protect them, strengthen them, and lead them closer to you as they help those in need. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so proud of you. Godspeed. Take care. And give the word of God to all. Appreciate you all so much, Megan and Julian, for leading this group. And we pray for you as well. Safe travels. We love you. Go. Go for God. Stand up and let your family greet you. We'll be excited to hear testimony about your week and to hear what all that you've done and how you didn't hurt yourself or have any scrapes or broken arms or anything like that. Please receive the blessing. And now, God, in this spirit of fruitfulness, as we send out our OMP team now, we pray, Father, that we too will find ways that we can carry Christ to our world at work, our world at play, our world at home. May we go forward now in the love of God, the grace and fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, and the peace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.